Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Night Visions with WPRS. I'm Eric.
I'm Wendy. And?
We got Visionique, of course, in the coma here with us. Sorry we missed you guys last week. Weather around here was awful. But we're back.
So So, yeah, we got some special guests tonight that kind of took a little bit of pulling to get one of them here, but she's here, so yay. And our topic tonight is Pokemon and how it relates to the paranormal.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are really into the Pokemon, so we decided we wanted to try to show how close you can, I guess, compare Pokemon to the paranormal. And I guess we'll start playing something because one of our guests, it's kind of late, so we had to pre-record it. So we're going to play that now for you and let you listen in. Hold on.
Good evening, everybody. This is Night Visions with WPRS. I'm Eric, and I wanted to let you know that this interview is pre-recorded.
I'm Wendy. And tonight we have a very special guest. This happens to be my daughter, Alexis. She is the Pokemon Master.
Also known as the team leader of Team Champions.
It's very nice to have you tonight, Alexis.
Thank you.
And tonight we are going to be talking about Pokemon and how it relates in the paranormal field.
So we're going to just ask her a few questions. And she's going to share with you the knowledge that she does have. First of all, I wanted to ask you, Alexis, can you share a couple of different types of Pokemon that would be related to the paranormal?
Ghost, Psychic, Dark.
And can you tell us a little bit about the Dark type?
It uses dark-type moves like Pursuit, Fight, Crunch, Assurance, and other stuff, like Night Slash.
And what would Night Slash be?
It's a dark-type move.
That they do what to the other opponent?
Take damage.
And what exactly does damage mean?
It means a lot of damage,
is it something that helps them win the Pokemon battle?
Yes.
Did that happen to be on the video games? And when you play, what is it called? When the tournament, the Pokemon battle, yes.
Yeah, like that.
Oh, just slash them.
Yeah.
Sounds kind of.
Can you share a few of the dark type Pokemon?
Sure. Darkrai, Absol, Liefert, Sneasel, Weavile.
And that is the what?
Yveril,
the dark type?
Alolan Meowth, Alolan Persian. And I think they're more dark type.
Do they share any damage or?
Their HP will be low if they take damage.
And what exactly is HP?
Health.
So they die if they're damaged, if they get.
If their health is went to zero.
Well, I'm sure because they're dark and pike and psychic and ghost and all that it takes a lot of damage to.
Fighting will be super effective against dark type.
What about the psychic? I think the psychic is your favorite, isn't it?
Yeah, and psychic is super effective against fighting type.
What are some of the psychic Pokemon? out of control. I know. Alakazam is your favorite.
Uh-huh. It was Abra and Kadabra.
And can you tell us a little bit? I'm sure you can probably tell us a lot, but can you tell us a little bit about Alakazam?
He's the evolved form of Kadabra. Kadabra evolves when traded.
Oh, so he forms into...
Alakazam maybe evolves into Mega Alakazam.
Well, they all start from Abra.
Uh-huh.
Which is one of my favorite, but I think I like Alakazam too. Isn't Alakazam my Pokemon buddy on Pokemon Go?
Kadabra is.
See, I don't even know.
like that.
Right. We love them psychic. Can you tell us something else about maybe the psychic Pokemon?
There's Ralts, Curlias, Gardevoir, Gallades. Ralts is also a fairy type.
Oh, there is a fairy type Pokemon. This I didn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Ralts is psychic and fairy type.
What's the difference between psychic and fairy?
They're two separate types.
Two separate types.
Yeah.
Oh. What are some of the ones from fairy? Because I don't think I've ever heard of a fairy type Pokemon before.
You know, Tigglypuff is a fairy type.
Jigglypuff. Oh, okay. Is like Mewtwo? Would that be a...
No, Jigglypuff. Jigglypuff.
Oh, that's the sound that he makes. Jigglypuff.
Yeah. And he sings too. That makes other Pokemon sweet. Like this.
Oh. And they can't see her, but y'all can't see her, but she's like sleeping. She's making a move when she does this.
That's why she's a Pokemon master.
That's why.
Also known as the champion, also known as the leader of Team Champion.
So. Since we are paranormal investigators, plug in for WPRS, of course.
Yes.
can you tell us about the ghost Pokemon?
Gengar.
It's okay.
Gastly.
Haunter.
Gengar. Gengar Mega evolves into Mega Gengar. It has the yellow ring in that black thing.
On his forehead?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Well, as you see, there are quite a few.
So as you guys heard, once she opened up, it was like no stopping her. But she truly is a Pokemon master.
And there is somebody else that's a Pokemon master as well. But we're going to let him introduce himself. But before that, I was given a research paper from him that I find quite interesting. And when we're talking about the Pokemon as compared to, in the paranormal field. And I'd like to read that, if I can, for y'all tonight before we bring him on. Y'all going to find him quite unusual, but he's very, very intelligent. So if I can get through this, let me read this first, because there are two things one must understand about the nature of ghost-type Pokemon, that they are creatures who are fond of astral possession, and that they are oftentimes the resurrection form of what used to be human, but born anew as a Pokemon. I'll be focusing on astral possession as it is a field I have studied and experimented with for centuries. Consider Rotom, for example, one of my personal favorites. The ghost Pokemon embodies the power of electric, to which it uses to possess appliances and power said machines, becoming something reminiscent to the golems described in Jewish mythology. As I stated before, Rotom is a personal Pokemon to me, and one that I actually enhanced using the power of a vacuum cleaner and extensive robotic engineering. I need not explain how vacuum cleaners are impressive conduits for the supernatural. TV shows such as Ghostbusters, satire, I'm reading in the dark, Alice. I'm in a hard time here. One second, let me get some light. I'm sorry. It says, I need not explain how vacuum cleaners are impressive conduits for the supernatural. TV shows such as Ghostbusters satirize the elements of ghosts against man-made appliances, and video games such as Luigi's Mansion extend such humor. But the reality is, ghosts inside machines is a formidable feat and something that should be approached with great care, simply because of the fact that the ghost in question has transformed beyond, has transcended beyond the ability to just manifest a physical form, but has the genius to understand the components of the machine as well as fuse its physical properties to that of the machine. Therefore, the ghost has theoretically gone through three impressive phases. It has gone from its former deceased body to a spirit, which is what in paranormal, that's what they do. Mm-hmm. First, transformed from the aforementioned mythological body such to a back to a physical one. Second and third, discovered a way to make that recreated physical body be able to estimate with the properties of electricity-operated machine. Just consider that on a modular level is absurd. I told you this man is intelligent. I'm having a hard time reading these really hard words. Rotom is not the only ghost Pokemon that has been discovered to use astral possession. The Pokemon Bayonette has also has been cataloged to do so in the National Pokedex as well. The malevolent creature reanimates the vessel of a discarded puppet. Wow. Certainly brings to mind scenes of infamous horror films of dolls and puppets seeking human blood, does it not? Yeah, it does. Nevertheless, Bayonet's possession is in no way as phenomenal as Rotom's, but it is impressive in its own right, especially considering that the Pokemon has the ability to mega evolve into a character that embodies the essence of carnival mayhem and circus mania. Wow. Okay.
I think after we introduce this guest, I'm going to have to go back to school and get a PhD.
Yeah, I think so too. Maybe we could just get him to teach us because I'm like, my mind's blown now.
Wow. So this is how one becomes a Pokemon master. Understanding our guest.
I don't know how my 18-year-old daughter does it.
Man, I know everybody is chomping at the bit, so.
Yeah, let's bring them on.
Are you guys ready for a special treat? Because I'm telling you, You're in for one.
Ready? Without further ado?
Yes. Bring on.
Dr. Cravens. Hold on, y'all. Bring them on.
Good evening.
Hello, dear sir. Are you there?
Good evening, Wendy.
Hey, how are you?
Can you hear me?
We can. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much, Wendy.
Well, it certainly is an honor to have you on the show tonight. We appreciate you taking this time, and we're ready for you to tell us a little about you for those that are listening in.
Well, as you all have stated, my name is Dr. Cravos. I have been studying Pokemon for the past 3 centuries. I specialize in ghost Pokemon and how they relate to mechanisms and robotics. I met Wendy's daughter at a school, and I taught her many things about Pokemon, but much of the knowledge she already possessed, all I did was amplify it.
Mm. So in other words, I have a very smart daughter.
I also signed her on to part of my program of research. She is on her way to becoming a doctor herself, as you should already know, Wendy.
Oh.
Wow.
I do believe she wants to become a veterinarian, if I am correct.
Yes, sir, you are. She does. She wants to be in that field. So I am sure that you have helped her greatly as far as her into helping her in that field. And her becoming a Pokemon master was just the first step in her becoming extravagant and taking over the world, I suppose.
Let us leave that to Team Rocket, shall we, Wendy? We cannot have trainers taking over the world.
Oh, okay. What do they do?
Pokemon trainers begin their journeys at a very young age, much like your daughter. They leave from the house, and they embark through woods, mountains, oceans, valleys, canyons. They battle on a regular 8 gym leaders. And once they collect all 8 gym badges, they take on the Indigo Plateau, which features the Elite Four. Having beat the Elite Four, they take on a champion. This has been the traditional theme of all Pokemon RPG games for the past 20 years.
Wow.
We're looking at each other like, whoa.
What is it actually take to become a Pokemon master? I mean, how do you know that someone's truly ready to embark on that journey?
I'm glad that you asked that, Eric. It takes heart, according to the video game, but in reality, it takes genius to become a Pokemon master. Weak Pokemon trainers go out and catch pathetic bug Pokemon. They choose from one of 3 starters, a water, fire, or a grass type usually, and they embark on their journeys. But in other aspects, they can also become scientists or mad geniuses and create Pokemon and labs, such as Mewtwo, Porygon Z. Some of these I know Alexis has told you about, has he not, Eric?
She has. She has shared many, many times, and I tell you, I don't know how she keeps them all separate, but she is amazing.
There are over 800 Pokemon to remember. It does take time, study, and research, but patience is key. Another favorite of my own is Silvally. He evolves from type Null. The Pokemon was gruesomely experimented on in a lab, and he was prepared in the lab to face gods, such as Arceus. They use the DNA of a god to create them, as a matter of fact. You can look it up in the Team Aether Paradise files.
Wow. Man, I don't know about you guys, but I'm just, like, blown away by this because I'm, as much as she talks about it, it's, like, really cool to learn about it. But I have a question that I wanted to ask. I wanted to know, are Pokemon capable of, like, seeing spirits per se? I mean, do they have to see something that's, like, there in solid form?
Psychic Pokemon can see into the future, according to the National Pokédexes. And yes, they can see other spirits. The only thing ghost Pokemon are immune to are the fighting type. You cannot hit them with physical attacks, as we see in other movies about the paranormal, Eric.
Okay.
But as we read in the article... Pardon me, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, but as Wendy was reading in the article, typically of ghost Pokemon, they tend to possess things that are dead, or they are the reincarnated vessels of humans that died in a life before.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So how does it get determined, I guess, what they're reincarnated as? I mean...
Well,
it
perhaps could be based off of what they were as a human, like, I would say, like, perhaps like a welder or a woodcutter might turn into a Trevenant when he dies. I understand that Driftloon takes the hands of children and carries them away. Ghost Pokemon do gruesome things to children.
Yes,
What did you discover? I'm listening.
Oh, you're listening. That there, when comparing the Pokemon to actual things in the world, some of them date back to or can relate to things in mythology.
That is correct.
And most of them, quite a few of them, have very dark histories, have very dark explanations of why they are what they are.
Indeed.
So,
what legendary
Pokemon
do you have in mind?
Well, there are some that I was looking up. Excuse me for my briefness here. One of them being Ninetales.
Ninetales has many myths surrounding her. Some say that she was born from nine sages or nine wizards. I actually have a very close friend who lives nearby, and he uses Ninetales and Alola Ninetales. He's a powerful trainer who has beat champions. I have told you about him before. As a matter of fact, he came to the school one time and worked with Alexis's group of students.
Oh.
He is a brilliant champion, and he attends Bucknell University in Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow. one of my favorites actually is Sableye.
A ghost and dark type, Wendy.
I tend to like the dark type, the ghost type. You know.
I can tell that. And what about you, Eric? I know that you know how to battle with Pokemon as well.
That's kind of hard for me because, well, Alexis did try to teach me a little bit, but I couldn't grasp it. I guess I was distracted because there's so much. But I do want to learn more into it. And my problem is it's hard for me to find, like, my favorite type because I like the dark ones, of course, but I seem to like the psychic. And I can't really name any psychic because, like I said, this is like, I don't know. I tell you, I don't know how she keeps them separated. She can tell you the sounds they make, what they say, their moves.
Precisely.
But
well, many,
I do. I think
well, many Pokemon are based off of real life animals, though, Eric.
Oh, so what animal would be considered, like, psychic?
Psychic Pokemon are based off of humans, but at times some are based off animals, like Girafarig. Girafarig is a normal and psychic type, and it is a creature with two heads, one facing forward and one on its tail.
Oh,
whoa.
Your daughter and
wow.
I are still trying to figure out what Alakazam is based off of. At times, it looks like a little rat as an Abra. It keeps its tail as a Kadabra. However, when it evolves into Alakazam, it loses its tail.
Mm-hmm. And where did the spoons come from?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask.
It has one spoon as a Kadabra, does it not?
Oh, it does.
Two as an Alakazam, and as a Mega, I believe it has five.
Whoa.
Mega has, yeah. We have the big book of Pokemon in front of us. We're trying to look it up.
And
we're
oh, my gosh. This is...
Now, one thing that I ran across in my research was kind of interesting to me. It says Mew is the ancestor of all Pokemon, and Mewtwo was created from Mew. It says Adam is comparable to Adam and Eve.
That is true, Wendy. And do you know what organization was behind the creation of Mewtwo?
I do not.
Team Rocket, and a lab of researchers spearheaded by Giovanni.
Oh, now it makes sense.
Your daughter can tell you more about Giovanni and Team Rocket.
She has told me quite a bit about Team Rocket.
Team Plasma is more relatable to my team of researchers. You should Google them in your spare time. Team Plasma.
And what can you tell us about, I was reading when I read your research paper, something about, something about you and transformation from vacuum cleaners. Can you explain that to me a little bit?
The Pokemon Rotom has the ability to possess appliances, such as a microwave, a stove, refrigerators, fans, that sort of thing. But with my genius, I decided to allow Rotom to possess a vacuum cleaner. And Alexis can tell you more about this because she was actually at school when I presented it to my students. I called the finished product Chimera Rotom, as it is a hybrid of all of the appliances combined onto one vacuum cleaner machine. This enhances Rotom's power and allows it to manipulate its electric powers more fluently.
Wow.
Have you all seen Ghostbusters?
Yes.
Then you should know how vacuum cleaners interact with spectral forces. They absorb the ghost inside, and they trap it inside their clear or bagless containers. I have showed you a picture of Chimera Rotom before. Have I not, Wendy?
You did. You did, yes.
And if you look inside of its body, you will see the Rotom residing in the clearless container.
Wow.
You should also play the game Luigi's Mansion. It's a comedy game made by Nintendo, but in the game, the character runs around and he absorbs vectors inside his vacuum cleaner.
Oh, did not know that.
I didn't either.
Needless to say, vacuum cleaners are very effective tools, and I would suggest that you and Eric should consider using one in yourselves in your endeavors of the paranormal.
Oh, we need to get a vacuum cleaner. Well, we got one, but that's for the house. We need to get a vacuum cleaner.
It all's making sense now.
It's all coming together. But
it is, because now I'm
listening. Go ahead, my friend.
I was saying it's really making sense. See, I'm the type, it takes a while for me to catch on, but now when I really think about what you're saying, now I remember in Ghostbusters, what do? They capture them in those devices that are like a vacuum, and then they put them into their main container, and what does it do? It gets vacuumed inside there.
Precisely.
Stored. Wow, I got to watch that again now.
There is a remake of the whole show featuring four women. They did remake the show, as a matter of fact, Eric.
The four women, that was awesome.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
They use a lot of electromagnetism like myself, though. You understand what electromagnetism is, do you not?
I don't.
No, I will have
to invite you all to my lab one day. Do not worry. Dr. Kravis will take
many.
Very good care of you.
Can I go tonight?
It's far too late for that, my young friend.
Dr. Kravis is a very busy person. He has a lot of things to do tomorrow, so maybe we can come up with some other day.
Okay, what about the next day?
Now, we'll have to arrange for that so you all can come to my abode.
That will definitely work for me. Now, I wanted to ask something. In your opinion, if, we were to take a Pokemon with us, what type would you say would be the best to take that would be able to, help the most? Or because I know the little research that I did, because there's just so much, I know that, something about, was it the ghost Pokemon attack aren't good against certain types? They can't do this type, and then the dark type is ineffective against this type. So,
well, the ghost type is super effective against itself, Eric.
Well, I was just getting ready to say that. That was the last thing that my daughter told me tonight before I left her, was that ghost types are super effective against ghost types.
Well, man, I wish I could have talked to her.
And it's also effective against her favorite Alakazam.
Ah.
Uh-oh.
Ghost type destroys and demolishes the psychic type. However, ghost type is very frail against the dark type. Not only does the dark type have resilience to ghosts, but it is also super effective to it. During the interview, I heard your daughter mention the attacks Bite and Crunch. Dark-type Pokemon learn these attacks, and they can use them against Ghost-type and devour them.
Mm.
Man.
She forgot to go into more details about Darkrai, perhaps because he can demolish Alakazam, so she stayed away from the power of Darkrai. But Darkrai is a Pokemon that inflicts nightmares.
I think she did that on purpose.
Yeah, she is very protective of
Alakazam, yeah.
Oh, I know, because I have battled your daughter before, Wendy, and this you know.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Wow.
That is her. That is her Pokemon, if there ever was a Pokemon.
That is not her only favorite Pokemon. She also loves Sylveon. I'm sure she has said it before. Sylveon is a fairy type Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Sylveon, another favorite of hers. She loves cat Pokemon. She told me that. And she is a huge fan of Mewtwo. That's why me and her got along so well, because Mewtwo was created in a lab. And she wanted to learn how to engineer, or genetically engineer, so I'd say, Pokemon as well. There's nothing unethical about genetically engineering Pokemon, for I do it myself. Don't believe everything that you read online, Eric and Wendy. Do you understand?
Uh-oh.
I do.
Uh-oh.
Well, I got another question. I went and saw that Pokemon Detective movie. How accurate was that as far as, you know, the way the Pokemon reacted to certain things and
each other?
Well, leaving the movie spoiler-free for those that are listening who may not have seen the movie, Detective Pikachu was very accurate, not only to the video game, but to the core series, which is canon. Mewtwo was created in a lab, and according to the movie, somebody had to catch Mewtwo, as it originated from Cinnabar Island, or the tropical jungles, some might say, where Mew comes from. I heard you mention that, Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Some of the powers that Mewtwo displays in the movie is true to the video game, but I will not go into those details to spoil it. One thing that the movie did leave out, though, Eric, as you pointed out, were battles. They toned that down for viewer discretion. The core of the Pokemon video game pits Pokemon versus Pokemon, and for some people this is unethical because it is much like dog fighting. As a matter of fact, Wendy, your daughter does not like Pokemon to battle or get injured.
That is true.
True, yeah.
Because when Wendy's playing that Pokemon Go and Alexis hears that one of Wendy's is injured or hurt, Alexis just gets really upset with her. I mean, really upset.
Especially with Alakazam, but any of them particular, you know.
Hmm.
Ooh,
but you see,
I got
cannot,
an interesting...
You cannot beat... Oh, I'm sorry, Eric. Go ahead, my friend.
I don't mean to keep interrupting you, but I was just curious about this. Is it possible that the Pokemon can become possessed?
As a matter of fact, they can. Usually psychic Pokemon do this. To use Alakazam, your daughter's favorite, he can use an attack called Role Play, which copies a Pokemon's ability, or Skill Swap, which actually takes the Pokemon's inherent nature and abilities and uses it as himself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Basically, in theory, he would take your power of, let's say, your paranormal searching, Eric, your drive for the paranormal, searching out ghosts. He would take that skill from you and use it as his own and replace it with something else and make you, say, a carpenter.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I know. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
This is incredible.
And if you want to get more specific, do you remember the Pokemon Ditto in the movie?
What?
Yeah. Yes, Ditto.
Ditto. Oh, Ditto.
The pink Pokemon that looked like slime.
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember that one.
Mm-hmm.
Certain Pokemon have the ability to alter their molecular levels and actually turn into the object that is in front of them, or the Pokemon. Not only can Ditto do that, but Mew can as well.
Nice.
Man.
This is why we had Dr. Kravos on, because he is brilliant when it comes to Pokemon. Brilliant.
Oh,
I
you
can understand.
I speak the truth, Dr. Kravos.
Thank you, my lady.
Wow. If, let's say, per se, like, one of us wanted to learn more, would you be willing to, like, train us as well? Or what would you require us to do before you did that training?
I would gladly love to do that training. As a matter of fact, my alter ego, Victor, is working with public libraries to host Pokemon events where young children can come and receive cards and learn about the game. He told me today that he has one scheduled for July.
Ooh.
Ooh.
If you're...
He's not going...
If this Mr. Fichtner could let us know a date, that would be awesome.
I will tell him to do that, Wendy. He has informed me that he doesn't want me to be present because it might scare some of the younger children. But he will have another professor character hosting the event. And he is also inviting many trainers and champions that he personally knows to help him.
Nice.
He is weak, but he is a competent school teacher, and he knows how to network. I'll give him that much.
Well, the time I met him, I wouldn't say he was weak.
Oh, oh no. Little do we know, right?
I have really enjoyed tonight with you, Eric and Wendy.
We appreciate you coming on.
Yes, I know everybody listening in has thoroughly enjoyed this as much as I have, because I'm telling you, I'm like blown away. Your knowledge and what you shared with us tonight, I'm saying this, I mean this sincerely. Thank you so much. This has been quite an honor for me.
I'd always be more than happy to. Thank you for having me.
One of these days we must get you and Alexis together on the show and let you just talk the whole hour.
Alexis would love that. She does love me more than her teacher at that school, Victor.
And you know this how?
Because she has confided that in me. And she hopes to become a lab researcher herself. I will get her own personal lab coat. That I promise.
Oh. Well, you have been very sweet to my daughter. Thank you.
You are welcome, Wendy. Thank you for allowing me to teach and train her. She will surpass me someday. That I know.
Mm.
Look out, world.
Yeah, look out, world, because she's working on it. She's working on it. But thank you so much for coming on. We have thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you, Wendy and Eric. And good night, my friends.
All right, good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Wow. I hope everybody listening in truly has learned something, because...
Ooh, I know I did.
I know. My head is swimming right now, and I found out what I need to do. I am going to definitely talk more to Dr. Kravos. I'm even going to talk to Mr. Victor.
We can talk to Mr. Victor.
And I'm going to talk to the Pokemon Master herself, because now I know that she's legit. She knows her Pokemon. And as always, I'm going to ask everybody that listened in, if you can go either to Wendy's page or WPRS.
Or Night Vision.
Yeah, Night Vision.
Just hanging in there.
Yeah.
Facebook.
Or even Visioniques. And just leave a comment what you liked about this show, because we want to do these shows for you guys. And, you know, we appreciate any input. Nothing will be taken. You know, if something you didn't like, or please share it.
We must find out the information from Mr. Victor as well.
Yes.
I want me and you and Alexis to attend that.
For sure.
If possible.
But now I know I'm going to have to take out a couple of loans, because I need to start getting some cards put together.
We have cards.
But I want powerful cards.
Oh, yeah, they're not powerful. Some of those are.
I'll have to talk to the Pokemon Master.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to say much after
such a wonderful interview. Gosh.
Wow.
Sometimes you just have interviews and you're like, just, there's nothing you can say afterwards. Just like mesmerized. Just, ugh. But I don't think there's anything coming up.
I'm trying to think of, I mean, we have a lot of stuff like in the works, but can't really share any of that right now. I wanted to give a shout out to Ryan and Dennis, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And to tell everybody, if you haven't gone, go to the Cabin 360. I'm telling you, they will treat you like.
I want to go Pokemon hunting there.
I wonder what kind of type you'd find there.
I don't know, because it is Civil War. Place of the Battle of the Civil War, Battle of Bethesda. So maybe that we can do that one night and Facebook Live it. Yeah.
Oh, that would be interesting. Man, I tell you, I'm serious. I don't know about you guys. Tonight is just like, I'm serious. I feel like I just took a final exam.
Like, we're sorry that it's taken this long to get this show on the air.
But it definitely
was very well worth it.
Yes. So. Yeah, because it was really hard last week. We really didn't want to do that, but it was just the weather here was just horrible. And we didn't want it to be interrupted, because we knew once we had Dr. Kravos, we really wanted you to guys get that special treat. And I'm telling you, everybody, you need to know he's very, very busy, and he took out the time tonight. So
yes.
We all need to really
thank
yes.
you on my page to him. So.
I'm trying to think if anything else is going on. Yeah, I know we kind of got some upsetting news that the historian at Fort Monroe.
Yes, I won't name names, but he was the historian and had been so for many, many years at Fort Monroe, was recently fired, for lack of a better word. But I'm hoping to get in touch with him at some point, somehow, and follow him wherever he goes, because, you know, he's another one of those, like the historian at Portland, so full of information. You just hate to see him go, you know. So well wishes to him. I was devastated when I heard that in the news.
Yeah, no, it's hard to believe, but, you know, stuff like that happens, because we had quite a bit in the works with him.
Yeah.
So now we got to recalculate our moves as far as that's concerned.
But it is still a wonderful place, regardless.
It is. Oh, yeah.
We were just there the other night, and, oh, my God, it's still just as active as it ever was. It's a very active place. In fact, I brought some things home from it, and I had to put things from the curb for free. I don't think I'm stealing anything from Fort Monroe.
Oh, no. That, when you put it on the curb. It's...
Yeah. And we're waiting for something to happen, so... It may not have anything attached to it, but it might. No, no.
And I promise you guys, we are going to start going to more places, and we will be doing a lot more lives, because we really appreciate all the support. And our page is at 497.
We are three, get it, 1, 2, 3 away from number 500 likes. The number 500 like gets a gift basket from WPRS, full of things in it.
Yes.
I get news like the page. Come on, y'all.
Yes. So make sure you check that out.
Get your friends. I mean, just like it.
Well, anyway, I guess
we have to go to bed after that. We got to get up early in the morning. But, gosh, who can go to bed after that?
Yeah, I know. Well.
Anyway, thank you, Dr. Kramer. Thank you, Alexis.
Yeah, oh,
wonderful,
most definitely.
Next time she will be live, hopefully.
She will.
I tried to get her Facebook Live tonight with her, and she won't have it. When she gets in her mood, she won't have it.
Yeah, I want everybody to know she acts shy, but I'm telling you, she's far from shy.
She's not shy. That's what they say about her mother, too. So.
Yeah, you shy, whatever.
But anyway, thank you, everyone.
Yeah, you guys have an awesome night, and thank you for tuning in, and we love you guys. You guys have an awesome rest of the week. And, oh, yeah, before I forget, I want to just send one more, our sincere condolences again to the family of all those lost in the thing that happened in Virginia Beach last week. I mean, no, I don't want to keep dwelling on it, but
yeah.
It stays close to home when it's right down the road from where you're at every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, thank God we stayed safe, but those people, so.
And I knew some of them, so it kind of hit home. But love you all. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Oh,